Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right, greetings, world. Welcome back to another episode live of Piercing the Veil Radio. We're actually doing Let's Build a Community Session 2 today. We did our first episode on this last week, and the episode was basically focused on building a intentional community on a piece of land using sustainable technologies and food production. And we went a little bit into the details on what we're looking for, essentially, but I wanted to continue the conversation in a few more sessions, and that's what we're doing today. Now, before we get to that, as you may be aware, listeners, there's a whole lot of shit that's hit the fan in the past couple days. Some very, very concerning, surprising things to me as well. It would appear that behind the scenes, the deep state-controlled factions of the CIA and so on and so forth, who, by the way, have their fingers in the Trump administration, have acted to either, one, do the false flag chemical Syria attack, which we'll get into a little bit later, and two, in addition to that, appear to have somehow coerced, blackmailed, or otherwise forced Trump to fire those missiles in such a silly, erroneous manner. What the hell is going on? Well, let's take a look. Corey, are you with us today?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. You're coming through just loud and clear. That's perfect. So I'm sure you're sort of up to date on this as well with the basics. There was a supposed sarin gas attack that was apparently launched from the Syrian airbase, which... Total bullshit. You know, right off the bat, we're just going to blow this out of the water. If you look at the pictures of the people handling the children's bodies... Whatever. We got a bunch of static coming through the radio right now, Corey. That might be on your end. If you look at the pictures of these guys handling the bodies, they have no gloves, they have no hazmat. If you were to touch sarin gas or any residue with your fingers or any part of your skin and it came into contact with it, you would be dead moments later. So, number one, it's either not sarin gas, or number two, which is more likely, that's just bullshit staged crisis actor photos. What remains to be seen is whether or not anybody actually died. You know, people tend to think that a false flag means that nobody died. Typically, they use crisis actors to make it appear that there's been casualties, because actual casualties are very messy. Families ask questions. They want to see the bodies. Same thing with Sandy Hook. This is just a repeat of the same old bullshit MO. Okay. So I think that the Syrian chemical attacks are false flags, no doubt about it. They're somehow connected to the Russian train bombings that happened about a week before. Now you have Daesh, or as the CIA calls them, and everybody else, ISIS. You have the Daesh claiming responsibility for lots of bombings in Egypt and Coptic Christian churches and so on and so forth, Sweden attacks all over the place. All of these things are orchestrated by deep state faction-controlled, intelligence agencies or rogue deep state elite globalist factions, if you will. Does there exist radical Islamic terrorism? Yeah, it's there, it exists, but it's being foisted and fomented and amplified and directed and supplied and financed by the West. That's just, I mean, it is what it is. If you don't know that by now, you should probably quit listening to the show. So, that being said, I also have some other stuff to talk about, Corey. I want to get through this and I'll get your take on this. The U.S. government, including the generals, Mad Dog Mattis, is raised concerns about the intelligence supposedly that the U.S. government has come up with, saying, oh, well, it was Assad that did this to his own people. Well, we know that to be bullshit. We know it to be false. What we don't know is why the Trump administration, even though some of their top people, including Trump himself, probably don't believe it, why would they put that out there? Like, why is he – stepping into this total globalist lockstep plan or agenda that every other president behind him has carried out. You know, it was Iraq and Libya and Sudan and Yemen and Afghanistan and fucking now it's Syria and all these other places. I don't think that we're going to see any type of prolonged action or boots on the ground. I just don't see it happening. I also likewise don't think that we're going to see World War III. I don't see that happening either, especially of a nuclear variety. It's just been prevented too many fucking times. There's just so much congressional testimony from missile launch operators and high five-star ranking generals that have described UFOs or other type of crafts coming and shooting beams onto the missiles and shutting them down right before a major launch was to happen. This includes during and around the Cuban Missile Launch crisis, okay? So here's some things to consider, some key points to consider. There's a bunch of conflicting news reports in the MSM, which is typical. That's a normal thing that we see after some sort of false flag. They layer the narrative or the story with multiple false narratives to throw some of the independent researchers off the track. Despite this, a lot of people call out these false flags and have definitive proof within 24 hours or less. So it's not really working. What does fucking concern me, though, is that Hillary and the MSM war machines and these war hawks and neocons and globalists are all, for the most part, praising his maneuver, which is basically the 59 cruise missiles. Which, by the way, if you want to hit an airbase, you don't send fucking cruise missiles to destroy it. It was very clear, the intent was very clear that it was just a posturing maneuver. There may be something to be said about the waste of $100 million in doing some posturing maneuver, but something had to be done. Even if it was a false flag chemical attack, something had to be done. Why they chose to blame Assad and take that stance, I don't know. I truly believe that something deeper is happening. I don't see it. I don't see him being so stupid. You know, everybody's like, oh, Jordan, you're a dumbass, blah, blah, blah. The Trump is just a stupid narcissistic fat pig and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, no, this motherfucker has built, say what you want about him, he's built a lot of businesses. He's an extremely calculating person, extremely calculating, smart person. And he's very independent. So the storyline or the narrative that he's being duped by his advisors who are all Council of Foreign Relations, yes, I think that there's some of that going on, but I think he's just playing along, okay? So let's take a look at some of this other stuff. So just to recap, conflicting news reports. Everybody that used to hate Trump is now praising him for doing this neocon agenda thing. So maybe that's something up his sleeve that he's sort of looking for rats to show themselves or something like that. His, let's see here. Here's something that's concerning. His daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner, who's one of his advisors and staff members, they're being wooed right now by the CEO of Google and other high-powered billionaires and things like that. They were seen meeting and having dinner with the CEO of Google and so on and so forth. Well, why should that concern you? Well, maybe because the Google operation and the executives are at least as powerful, if not more powerful, than many factions of the intelligence agencies, because their private sector technology has either surpassed or far exceeded that of the deep state, for the most part. In fact, they go there to Google and these other large tech firms for their hacking tools, right? If you wonder where the hacking tools are being developed, it's being developed in the private sector. It is what it is, okay? So it should fucking concern you because they're tied in with the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Ninth Ritual Circles, and all sorts of other things. So why the fuck are they wooing some of the people that would be most influential in Trump's life? Not his other cabinet members, but his actual familial connections. Well, there may be some mind control programming going on. It would appear that both Jared and Ivanka were supporting the Paris Climate Change Treaty or agreement, which is basically a cover for geoengineering. It basically says, oh, there's such a threat from the sun and global warming that we have to geoengineer, which is chemtrailing, by the way. We have to geoengineer over a certain time period of the next 20 years. They're basically setting up a business operation. They were illegal before in the background. Now they're trying to legitimize the chemtrailing operation. And it would appear that despite their best attempts to coerce him, he's not going along with it. I could be wrong in the future. We'll find out. Okay, I still have a little bit of faith in this guy that he still wants to do the right thing. Are there signs showing me that I could be completely wrong? Yes, but they're not as loud as the other signs that are showing me that maybe he's playing like some five-dimensional chess. What I mean by that is, let's consider a few points about the actual attack. Well, what leads me to believe he knows what he's doing? Well, the airstrike was planned well in advance of the false flag chemical attacks. Most people don't realize this, including all the liberals that are getting crazy on the internet and things like that and Twitter. Oh my God! Whoa. Well, this airstrike was planned way, way before the false flag chemical attacks, 2017. Okay. Let's say this: ISIS praised this event, and it bolstered them enough in their confidence to mobilize massive troop movements towards the villages surrounding this airbase in the weird, you know, area in Syria. It's like this bumfuck Egypt region or whatever. But they're taking them as strongholds, and they're trying to overtake these villages who have been protected by the Syrian airbase. So now you've even got some of the most staunch Trump supporters who are like, oh my God, this is such bullshit. He's supporting ISIS, and, you know, look at all these villages and Christians that are going to be killed and taken over now. Well, I got news for you. All of those strikes were telegraphed in advance. Russians had 2 hours to pull all their troops out. The Syrian government was given notice, not just the Russian government, Syria as well. They had 2 hours. Then, every time the Navy would fire a cruise missile, they were signaling in advance, both auditorily and visually. So they were doing flare signaling. They'd send up a flare, and then they'd shoot the cruise missile, and then on the radio they'd go, beep, 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 beep. You know, hey, Morse code, we're firing a missile. Does that sound like you're trying to sneak up on somebody? No. It sounds like you're posturing, showing out for North Korea and trying to say, hey, we're not afraid to fucking use military might, you motherfuckers, back down. And some other things are going on as well, like a honeypot trap. Well, what is that? Well, you pretend to help the other side, or you pretend to do something stupid, or you feign that you've fallen and broken your leg, which is Trump's fuck up, right? Everybody's like, oh, this is an impeachable offense. He's fucked his entire administration. I liken that to him breaking his leg as a hypothetical situation. But what he's really doing, he's like, oh, my leg. Oh, I can't move. Oh, we're so weak. And ISIS is rushing into all these areas. Well, guess what? This fucking airbase was reopened 24 hours later. Excuse me, less than 24 hours later. The Russian Ministry of Defense and their official statement comes along with drone footage that shows that the perimeter is what was being striked. All of the cruise missiles landed around the perimeter of the base, with the exception of one or two that damaged some repair facility or something like that. There's pictures of planes and runways intact, and the planes on the runways taxiing, right? So you've got these reports, like I said, conflicting news reports. You've got these reports of Fox News saying civilians were killed and injured, and 20 planes were destroyed. Fuck you. I don't believe you. I don't fucking believe you. I think that something else... until I see video footage confirming otherwise, I think that this was basically a way for him to flush out all the ISIS reinforcements so that they would go, oh, hey, yeah, let's go get these fucking villages. And then they could see and record their troop movements on satellite feed. I really, truly believe something else is going on. Now, will I eat my words? Well, if he declares some sort of boots-on-the-ground intervention or says, oh, to make America great again, we have to go into Syria and all this other bullshit, I'll be the first one to say, fuck that, now I know you've turned completely, all right? And to be clear, I've never really actually supported, like, a president. I just said, listen, this guy's going to win. I think he's supported by positive factions, and I know he's going to win. And I fucking called that shit a year in advance. Also, I called that he would stop the chemtrails. Well, he did for 20-plus days when he got inaugurated. Now something else is going on. So do I acknowledge that maybe he's being brainwashed or influenced in some way? Yes. But I also acknowledge that there's a lot of positive forces behind him. And I'm not too worried about nuclear war. Okay? My last point. Here we go. And then I'll let you jump in, Corey. My last point is this. There is no way. There is no way that people can sit here and try to bitch about this being unconstitutional. Where were you motherfuckers when Benghazi was happening? Where were you when we were going into Libya and destroying Muammar Gaddafi, who had set up an oil-based currency reserve and gold-backed currency for his people? Where were you guys back when 9/11 happened, which was a joint operation between the Israeli Mossad agency and the CIA and factions in the government to cover up the theft and embezzlement of over $3 trillion from the U.S. Treasury, in addition to getting the Patriot Act passed and the NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, both of which contributed to the fact that the president can now order military unilateral action without a congressional approval. So all you people that are saying, oh, he's going to be impeached, he did some unconstitutional blah, blah. No, your constitution has been fucking shredded for years now, for almost a decade, and all of you people have been fucking silent. Anybody that hasn't been silent, I acknowledge you. I'm just generalizing here. A lot of people have been silent, okay? So some people need to check themselves before they start fucking bitching about things. Is there death happening? Is there fear and warmongering happening? Yes, I acknowledge it. Don't shut your mouth about that. Keep it up. But as far as who's responsible, you need to know who's responsible before you start pointing fingers. Okay? So even people like Paul Joseph Watson, who was a very intelligent person. He's very clear with his investigative research. He seems to have missed the ticket. There is another energetic level going on here, just besides the physical actions that you're seeing. Putin is advised by Pleiadians, by positive forces. He's one of the biggest leaders in the entire planet. There is no logical train that would lead me to believe that Trump is not being advised in the same manner. Therefore, I know that even though his actions look and appear to be stupid or a mistake or oh my God, we hurt ourselves, blah, 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 we're ineffective, whatever, I think it's just a chance that they're flushing everybody out. Not only internationally, Corey, ISIS and Daesh, but they're flushing out all the neocons and the people over here. Now, if he doesn't fucking arrest these pedophiles and do something about this Pizzagate shit and the chemtrails don't stop in the next couple months and we don't see some big arrests, I will be screaming to the top of my lungs and telling people about it and saying, hey, this guy's been completely fucking co-opted. And you know what? I may even write a letter to the White House. It's something I've been planning on doing for a while. You know, they get a lot of mail, but who knows? Okay. That's my soapbox, guys. It's been about 20 minutes that I've spent here on this current events, but I do believe it's that important. And just to recap, everything was telegraphed in advance. This chemical flag attack, we don't know whether or not children died, but we do know that the pictures of the people handling the bodies are fake or staged. And that's about it. The Russians are officially decrying and saying it's a travesty and blah, 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 but they don't seem too fucking pissed off about it, which leads me to believe that, you know, they know what's going on in the background. One last thing. The president, the leader of China, was meeting with President Trump as he was doing these things. This is not something you troll the leader of China with while he's meeting with you. This wasn't some, hey, look what I'm about to do. This was, hey, I'm about to do this. I've already alerted the Russians, and I want you to get – we have some other business to talk about for our trade deal and stuff like that and integration of Eurasia, so I want to talk to you about that at the same time. That's what that was. Okay? So – I hope that cleared things up for you guys. Obviously, do your own research. There may be some points that develop later in the story where I could be wrong or off base, but I believe it to be pretty accurate, the majority of what I've said, okay? And obviously, I'll stand by that. So kicking it over to Corey so he can give us his thoughts about that, and then we'll move into our Let's Build a Community session two, and we'll go from there. Corey, what do you think?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. There was no damage to the runway. They got advance warning. The personnel was moved. The aircraft were moved. And I've seen two pretty good analyses of this situation. One is Big Sweer, and on YouTube, and another one is Black Pigeon Speaks. Check out those two channels. Basically, they're saying that although it looks like it was, you know, once the evidence comes out that there was really no substantive damage to the airbase, and basically that the airbase was really not fully operative anyway, apparently it wasn't that crucial to everything. Clearly, you know, the Russians and the Syrians had advance warning, and I think that's going to be outweighed by all of the all of the neocons and everybody on the left and the right jumping on board and patting him on the back. I think it's a head fake, and I think he's going to get enough. He's going to fake out enough people with this to release some pressure on him a little bit. That's right.
It did have the added effect of the media softening on him.
Yeah, the media softening on him, some of his adversaries on the Republican side, Democrat side, and they're going to be too stupid. They're going to be too stupid to realize that it was a head fake. I agree with you. Clearly the whole Putin thing. You know, the Russians are coming. Everyone, you know, then the saber rattling. I think there is some kind of positive liaison between Putin and Trump. That's why his enemies have been decrying and all of this false intel and all this crap about the Russians influencing the election and all that shit. I don't know the nature of it, I agree with you. You know, four-dimensional chess. There's other shit going on. Regarding the pedophilia thing, man, that shit is so big. I mean, they had last week. They had Alex Jones backtracking off of it. You know, whatever you think about him, but he was backing up off of it. The pedophiles run the planet, man. So if you go after them, you're going after like the very, very, very top people, and they don't fucking care. So we'll see how that goes down. I think if stuff does go down, it's not going to be a big deal. People are going to be taken out quietly if that stuff does happen. He's not going to make big announcements about it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. They're going to have – this is what I understand to be true. They have – by they, I mean the positive intelligence agencies or factions thereof, like the FBI, NSA, CIA, the White Hats, the Patriots, the guys that are like, okay, this is not my fucking job. My job is to protect everybody from threats, and now my agency has become the threat and yada, yada, yada. Mm. These guys are making dossiers or files, if you will, that are 20 years thick on these people, so that when they finally arrested or killed or assassinated, and the awareness programs start and the disclosure starts up, so they can put like a Netflix or a History Channel special, and they can have and release all these, just like, you know, the Hitler files and so on and so forth. And so all of these things are prepped and ready to go. It's when are they going to make the move? That's the problem. Well, why haven't the positive forces moved yet? Well, Corey, they're busy trying to dismantle all sorts of hostage situations that have been set up on our planet and our galaxy. There's very large weapons, plasma weapons, that could affect the entire galaxy that have been set up by these forces that have to be cleared before they can actually take any further direct action. And believe that or not, if you don't want to, whatever, but there is some very nasty shit happening, okay? So let's segue out of that. Anything else that you wanted to finish up with real quick, actually, on the Syria topic?
No, I'm good. No. I'm just staying open. You know, my first response to the Syrian thing was like, ah, shit, Trump was turned. You know, but then within three or four hours, I dug in a little deeper, and, as more and more information was coming in. So, I mean, you know, who knows? My feeling is that Trump is trying to shake shit up. He's trying to make a difference, and he'll probably have to make compromises. He'll probably do stuff that looks crazy, but I want to believe that he's looking to make some progress on some really substantive shitty situations that we've been in for a long time. I think he's trying to do it. and he's swimming with sharks. You know, he's swimming.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've always acknowledged, Corey, that there's levels of intelligence and black budget programs and secret space programs that are at least 39 levels of special access clearance that are above the president's ability to see or know. And we know that. But what I knew to be true, and it still may be, is that this president is supported by a majority of those guys up in those levels. So no longer is it just a plain outright puppet. Now you've got somebody who's being supported by people who can make things happen, and he's having to fight upstream. So, and again, I really think this was like the U.S. doing multiple actions at once. Number one, they're saying, we have a show of strength, right? Number two, they're like, oh, you know, they're helping the Syrian government, and Russians go, oh, we broke our leg. Oh, shit, you know, the Syrian airbase is bombed, and oh, we blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the U.S. government's working against us, and they're working for ISIS and helping ISIS. So that it emboldens them and empowers them to get their confidence up, and they actually make decisions for aggressive movements that they wouldn't before. Because up until now, they've been little pockets of they send one or two fighters out or 5 or 10 fighters to infest an area, and they ambush this fucking Syrian government convoy when they come through, or they ambush these people here, or they blow up people here. They blow up everybody here, and then when the Syrian government comes in to help with the aftermath, they blow them up again, and when they come in again to find out who's been blowing everybody up, then they fucking ambush them with rockets and shit. So they're not playing nice. They're playing guerrilla tactics. So you got to do something to embolden them to go to rush all their forces out, or at least show you where their troop movements are. You understand?
Mm-hmm. So, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I could definitely see them doing this to flush them out, to embolden them, and get them riled up a little bit.
Listen, Corey, he's either being blackmailed and forced to do something so stupid, so retarded, so against what he said in 2013. He literally said, I'll never go into Syria. President Obama, you're dumb for doing this. You shouldn't go into Syria. Only bad things can happen. Blah, 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 blah. That stuff's blowing up on Twitter. It's just a small, tiny thing. I truly believe that he's either – I'll say this. The logic is not there. The probability is not there. If they had something so bad on President Trump, he would not have made it into the office. There is nothing that shows that he has been blackmailed that I can see, right? Nothing, because it would have fucking happened already. They would have pulled the blackmail card. They've thrown everything else at him. They would have pulled it already. So that being said, I know it's not blackmail, or I'm pretty sure. Number two, is he being duped? I don't think he's being duped or forced or coerced in any way into doing this. That's just dumb. He's a smart fucking guy. He has advisors in the positive intelligence agencies that are supporting him that know what these guys are doing, these globalists and these little fucking rats invested in our government. He knows what they're doing, and he's just playing along. So
yeah,
I don't think he's being duped.
Also, too, if he were swayed to take action against Assad, he would have done something more significant than this bullshit that they just did.
There you go. That was my other point. Yes.
Yeah.
So for them to have done it in such a way where it was only perimeter strikes, there was no infrastructure damage, there was no permanent shutdown. Russia was able to shoot down 23 of the 59 missiles because they were basically fucking tracking. The Navy's like, oh, here's our tracking signal. Here you go, Russia. We're broadcasting to you real time. Oh, yeah, you got that one. Good job. Yeah. You know what I mean? There was no reason for him to take the flak of looking ineffectual or weak because the base opened 24 hours later. It was meant to be that way.
Yeah,
okay,
there's no way they would have, you know, if you were going to take that kind of action, that kind of unilateral action, you would be busting ass and committing to total escalation. Otherwise,
that's right.
It's window dressing. It's kabuki theater, as Bix Weir said.
Kabuki theater, exactly. Okay, so let's go into Let's Build a Community session two. Just a quick recap. Last week we spoke about how I am looking at getting a piece of land either with a few co-owners or by myself, when I get this piece of land, I want to build earth bag structures or super adobe or hyper adobe. You can look those up on YouTube. We won't go into that. We've done a few episodes on it as well. Sustainable building, I think, is the episode. We talked about doing all these things and the need for a crew, an actual conscious, integral, interactive crew, a core foundational part of the community, this intentional community. We talked about how we want a community center in the middle. So we want like a conference center and a bunch of workshop villages or houses around the center of the property, and extending outwards in sort of a radial fashion would be little slices of property for people to actually live on. And in the center, they would have these workshops that take our plant produce and they make bowls and cups and things out of the dried leaves. They take our plant produce and it goes through our vegan restaurant, so on and so forth. And it's just like a big circle that goes around. We hold workshops that bring in cash and money from the community, who then learns valuable skills and can also purchase products on site while they're there. We talked about a few technology things like hydrogen technology, evaporative cooling to pull in water from the atmosphere and then filtering it, so you always have a water source for people, not just the ones on your community, but everybody else. Talked about a lot of those things. And then we got a little bit into how do we govern the community. And what I want to talk about on this one, we were going to have Apollo Wilson on. He's a ecological and permacultural minister and ambassador to all the different ecological communities that he's visited so far. He's been all over the nation. I think he's in California doing some workshops today. But he's been all over the nation. And so this guy, one of my best friends, he married my wife, me and Amy, married us together, I should say. He has a lot of information and knowledge about what exactly has he seen go wrong, right? And also, what exactly has he seen go right? And what would he suggest, having the knowledge of all these different ways that these people are doing it, and these guys are doing this over here, and those guys are doing this on this end of the nation, and these guys are doing it this way, what, taking into account all of that, what could be done better or more efficiently than all of them, okay? Unfortunately, he's not on today, but we'll get him on episode 3 or session 3 of this episode.
So yeah, I would really like to hear from him, definitely.
That's right. What are we going to talk about then? Well, Corey, I thought something along the lines, I should say, of motivation. How do we keep the members motivated without expending our own time and energy to constantly prop up the motivation? How do we get them monetary stipends so that not only are they getting a value for the 6 months that they're working, we talked about a 6-month contract, we screen you, if you make it through the screening, you put down a security deposit, and once you make that, then you start your 6-month contract of working and helping us build our structures on our property. After 6 months, if you're in good standing and you haven't committed any major infractions, then you are entitled to negotiate interest in a piece of land or an actual 100% ownership of that slice of land, that little radial slice that I talked about. What about actually making some money as well? So anything that we get from the workshops and so on and so forth, I want to kick a little bit of cash out to the members, even if it's only like $20 a week. $20 a day is too much starting out. But $20 a week adds up. They can go use it for gas. They can go get extraneous things off the property. They can do this. They can do that. They can save it, whatever. But at the same time, they're also getting a value per each hour worked during that six-month time period, which equals a certain monetary amount, so that they have a value or interest in getting a piece of property at the end, right? So I want to discuss that in further detail. What is an amount that you think would be workable just so people feel they're getting some sort of value? I said 20 bucks a week, but what are your thoughts on that, Corbin?
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a tough question because I would have to – I mean, the idea of people are working on behalf of a community. There's a bunch of stuff that needs to be done from start to finish. That they could come away with something other than just their contribution to making the thing real would be great. I don't, you know, it kind of depends on how much people are willing to commit in terms of funds, right? Let's say you're outreaching to a bunch of people. You're looking to develop a community of a certain size. You're looking to take on a certain number of people.
It's five.
Yeah. So you start small. I would pay people in silver. that would certainly motivate me and people who think like me. It's hard to say without knowing what the metrics are.
Let's do this then. Let's make a framework. We're going to say five people. We're going to say the compensation, the monetary stipend compensation, not the value of their hours worked, because that's being tallied separately. The monetary compensation would be something like a gram of silver per week. We're taking into account the fact that these people are being paid, or they're accruing value that they can then go get their piece of property on the main property. So that is a value in itself. What else is a value?
Sure.
Well,
sure.
During that time, we'll have a temporary infrastructure, a kitchen to cook in, food to eat for free, water that's for free, tent structures or some sort of temporary living area for each person. So they're there by themselves in their own personal space. They're living for free, rent free. They get to use the internet rent free. You know what I mean? So all of these things are basically living at a fucking paradise for free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they also working a certain set number of hours per week that will lead to the total number of value that they get over that 6-month contract? Yes. But every week, I want there to be some sort of performance-based motivation. So the stipends, even, we can make performance-based. So there could be a stipend pool every week. So let's say this week we have $100 total in donations that we haven't used for infrastructure that we can use to motivate our people individually. Whoever puts extra hours on these projects that nobody wanted to do before that have just been sitting here on the board that nobody's doing, whoever gets this done gets an extra 20% of the stipend. And if somebody wants to join them, they get that half 10%, they split it with them. Each person gets an extra 10%, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it that way. And they know they're getting paid already. They know they're getting a free life already. But if they want to have something of value, like a little bit of silver, this or that, then they know they can do these projects. And so in this manner, we will hardly ever or rarely ever have any projects that don't want to be done. If somebody doesn't want to take out or flip the shit pile after 4 months in the compost toilet area, which is not a hard job, you take a fucking pitchfork, you lift the thing up, it's not stinky because it's been composting, you flip it once, you close it back down, bada bing, bada boom, you're done. But certain people have these little – I'm not trying to change you, right? You're on a certain level of consciousness already, but you still might have your little hangups here and there. I'm not trying to change you. I'm just trying to motivate you to get over those hangups. And if you don't want to – well, fucking somebody else will.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely people who show more willingness to participate, willingness to contribute, who will be, willing to work harder, longer, do certain tasks that other people are unwilling or unable to do. Sure, they should get acknowledgement for that. They should get some extra form of compensation for that. Specifically, as far as numbers and things like that, I mean, look, you're starting with a blank slate. You got a raw piece of land, right? I would say, okay, is there the option or to put the option for people to, if they have some means already, right? They're gonna, if you got five people to start this thing, I would imagine that those five people are gonna have definitely like mind. They're gonna have crazy skills, and they're gonna bring, a lot to the table. Maybe they have tools, maybe they have equipment, maybe they have things, whatever kind of experience that they have. Maybe they have cash to be able to fund stuff in the beginning because, You got to acquire, you know, you can get donations from the community and so forth, but you're going to have to start with something. Before, you know, it's going to be at least a season before you can start growing stuff and getting, you know, and getting the benefit of having food. You've got to build the housing, right? So there's going to be, you know, tents, there's going to be temporary structures, and then there's going to be, you know, increasingly as the work gets done, more permanent structures, things like that. So in terms of, again, in terms of like specific numbers of what people should get, I couldn't imagine. I would imagine you would know in the field based on what kind of funds you're coming in, how much
That's
work
right.
you're getting done, who's doing what. But absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't believe in pure communism where, you know, everyone gets the same wage or compensation if they have varying skill sets and various work ethics. That shit is just, that's never worked. And
so that
I would
yeah, you're right.
That.
You're right. Yeah. So that wraps it up for me as far as the questions I had about the stipends. I'm going to say this, until further notice, the stipends are going to be negotiated on a weekly basis. So here's what we'll do. During the transitional phase where we're, like you said, we're still temporary, we're still doing this, we're getting everything up and running, there would be some sort of privileges. It'd be like a mixed stipend. You get extra privileges or extra access or extra this or extra time here or extra this or that or whatever, plus a little bit of cash. Right. Mm-hmm. And we'll do that on a weekly basis. On a weekly basis, we'll say, oh, we've got this much for stipend amount, or even for the first 3 or 4 months, the stipends will be non-monetary. Mm-hmm. There'll be some sort mm-hmm. of other contribution that is mm-hmm. still performance based. OK, that's mm-hmm. what we're going to do. First couple of
and
months,
also,
non-monetary.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, too, something just popped into my head.
Go ahead.
These folks will be working, if I understand you correctly, for their own plot, right? I mean, obviously, the piece of land, you're going to get a low deal title to it. It's going to be free and clear of any encumbrances, so on and so forth. And that part of partaking in the development of this project would that be at some point, people would be able to get their own piece of that land, correct? So
that's crazy
motivation. From the jump, from the start, you know, that in of itself to me is it would be worth working for. Yeah, I'll work to help you all build this thing, and if I know that it would lead to me being able to get, you know, a chunk of dirt in the end as well.
Yeah,
so that's huge. That's hugely motivational, I would think.
That's a given. So that's the whole underlying drive that I'm talking about that's always going to be there. So as far as like stipend compensation for the first 3 months, let's say it's non-monetary, it's also going to be performance-based or variable based on performance. The performance needed is going to be targeted towards projects or tasks that are somewhat not getting done or nobody wants to do them. As they come up, we'll just mark them and go, oh, this goes in the stipend pool. It appears it's been a week and nobody's done this, so we're going to put this in the stipend pool, and whoever completes this by this date at this end of the stipend cycle will get this many such and such, this many avocados, or, you know, or something, right? And so then once we're up and we've got some permanent structure going, then we can do or actually during this time, as we're building, Corey, there's nothing stopping us. As every day that we build, we can invite the community and a certain limited number of people to come attend a workshop. Those people pay $10-$15 a piece. They come and they sit in a nice little seated tent area and they observe us. We have some sort of session, 5-10 minute session, where we explain what we're doing, and then those people can interact and come put their hands in the soil and chalk line the outline of a foundation for a building we're doing or whatever, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
That
people
money
pay. People will pay to come learn how to do that.
Out the ass they will pay.
Definitely.
They will pay out the ass. I want to keep it reasonable. So let's say $15 a person. We're consistently every week, we're consistently getting, let's say, at least 5 people to show up, which is very conservative. So let's say what, 10 times 5 is 50. 5 times 5 is 25. So it's $75 essentially coming in a week. And that money can obviously be used to do the stipend stuff or whatever we need to do. So that takes care of that. Now let's talk about, we talked a little bit about motivation. The motivation is going to be super badass. Everybody's going to be highly motivated, like you said, to get their own piece of dirt and so on and so forth. I'm not worried about that now. Stipends, I seem to have a clear idea of what we're going to do or what I'm looking to do for the first couple of months. So thank you for that, Corey. Now, what type of interest, I think we're going to save this one for later. What type of interest would the members receive once they've successfully completed their six-month thing? Would it be a quit claim deed where we quit claim it to them, they go record their portion of the property in the county, and now they're liable for taxes because they're not under our nonprofit umbrella anymore? Yeah, I really don't see that happening. I see, let's see here.
Well, if you've got a loaded title.
I see this. They are investing in a place that's long-term. So they're going to always – they're investing in a place that they can always have. It's not necessarily like, oh, I'm going to work for 6 months so I can get this interest in this property so I could then go sell it and then take the money and leave the community and go off and run with the money. No. It's going to be – you get an interest in this property. You sign the paperwork. You acquire it. It's yours, right? But you can't do anything with it or sell it until we actually as a whole decide, okay, we've built this thing up. We're going to expand now, which would be like a year or two later. We're going to expand. Let's sell this property. And during the sale, I would have the agreement with each one of those people. I'd say, okay, well, I'm going to sell this property. We bought it at $10,000, a blank piece of land. We've now, in 6 months, we put a fence on it. We've put a major community structure on it. We've put electrical in there. We've got also a well. We've got this evaporative cooler thing. We've got solar panels. We've got everything. We've made it real nice, and so it's around the edges. It's been landscaped, so it's improved. If you landscape and put a fence up, you improve the property value by most properties of at least $20,000 or more, right? So if we start at 10, we put this work in for 6 months. Now our property is worth $40,000, right? We've already gained. So imagine at the end of all of our structures being built, we've got these badass, we've got a badass community home or community center or whatever. Now we can go sell this property to a church who has buku bucks. We can go sell this to Unity Church as one of their new – or one of these retreat church community centers or something like that. Those people will come in and snatch this fucking property right up. So let's say our final valuation after a year or 2 years of being on here and doing our thing, again, during that time, those people are – after the six-month contract, they're living on their house basically. Let's say – after 2 years or so, we all as a community decide to sell. Like, okay, we want to sell our property, and we're going to go, you know, each one of you will receive this amount. So let's say it's $200,000, right? Because property, when you improve it and you put structures on it, it becomes super valuable, extremely, like 20 times the amount of value, okay? So let's just say $200,000. Let's say I bought the property at 10. We put a bunch of structures on it. We put everything on there. It's ready to go, which increased the value to $200,000. Let's say we've got five people on there, including myself. And those five people have each of them completed their six-month contract. They're living in their house, yada, yada, yada. At some point, a group of us get together and we have a majority decision. We're like, hey, we're all feeling like we want to expand, or maybe these people want to go and they want to actually separate from the community completely. What I mean by that is like actually no ties, no interest, nothing. Well, unfortunately, they're going to have to wait till we sell the property. But when we do, they'll get that money. Okay. So let's say five people, it's $200,000. Each one of those person gets a, let's see, I hold a 50% interest in the property, and those people have a 10% interest each. Right. So I would get $100,000, and each of those five people would get $20,000. Corey, would you work for 6 months of your life and live for free being fed and actually have a home to stay in with internet access and electricity if at the end of a year or so you're only working for that 6 months, by the way, unless you want to? Would you do that for $20,000?
Probably. Yeah.
Right. if you're a person who doesn't have an, like, I'm not talking about people who have full-time jobs. I don't want you if you got a full-time job. I want people who are highly motivated to live off the land and be free and not be anybody's slave, make their own contributions and their own money. And somebody like that's going to be like, fuck, 2 years, 1 to 2 years before this whole project's completed, in 6 to 7 or 8 months of me doing my thing, we'll have houses ready for everybody. I'll be in that house. It'll be mine to do what I want with. And then at the end of this whole thing, when we actually decide all of us together to sell, I'm going to get $20,000 out of it. And then have all each every single skill I ever needed to start my own community at that point. Yes, I would do that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, yeah, you'll do it. Yeah, it's very likely. Money. It's very likely you'll get people who would want to, you know, with all the skills and all the process that they were exposed to. Yeah, I'm sure some people would want to would likely go and take that skill set and that knowledge somewhere else. I mean, also too, it's kind of difficult to even. I know you're using dollars and so forth. It's even kind of difficult to value things in dollars per se, but you know, things will happen. Whatever currency we're using, or whatever, you know, whatever the situation is, there will be certain value to it. You know, regardless of what the dollar does or whatever, you know, you'll make those decisions based on, you know, it's like and like you were saying, and like you were saying with people who would want to leave or so forth. You know, it's like in a trust. Okay, I want to give or transfer my interest in a trust to some other entity. Well, there'd be a bunch of you'd have to go through a process to be able to do that. Couldn't just do it. You know, have to go through. Okay, well, who you're looking to transfer to? What's the time frame? You know, obviously we'd have to interview whoever is being their interest is being transferred to, right? Just to make sure that there's continuity and, you know.
I would say this, Corey. Except in cases where that person has died somehow and now their interest is just sitting there, and it would go to their family at that point. I don't want to make these shares or equity shares in the property transferable. And I'll tell you why. I just don't want to deal with any of that property. I don't want to deal. That's like basically letting somebody else come in and make a claim against the property who has nothing to do with the vision, just because they're friends with whoever was there. So my thing is this. If you complete your 6 months contract of work, it's very likely that we already have a house built for you by that point, or multiple ones, right? You can stay in it. You can do whatever you want. You can go leave every day. You can go off for a vacation for 2 years. I don't care. But at some point, at the end of our project, when we want to expand and start over, right, you're going to get your money out of that. You're going to get that. If it's 20%, you'll get, you know, whatever that is. Or if you've got 10% equity, you'll get that. It's nothing you can transfer. It's not like you can sell it. But you're also not stuck. Like, if you don't like what we're doing and at some point after your 6 months, you're like, oh, well, fuck this. I don't believe this anymore. Okay, great. See ya. But keep a good number for you so that we can call you when we sell a property and go, hey, here's your fucking $20,000, asshole. You know, I'm not looking to punish anybody for leaving. I'm looking to make it fair for everybody. Does it make sense? Right now, in most of these communities, you get punished for leaving. If you're an integral part of the community, people make it so that you cannot leave, or that you're dependent. They don't want to build you up. I have seen that fail so many fucking times that I know better. So.
Oh yeah, I've seen that as well.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So let's just do a quick recap.
That kind of defeats motivation. The purpose. That kind of defeats the purpose it of does. You know, like a you know, of individual rights and freedom and so forth. You know, a voluntary involvement with a community, right?
That's
and if
right.
If you're dissatisfied with some reason, then there's, you know, there's multiple ways of, you know, beyond conflict resolution. If that doesn't work, and, you know, there's escape clauses. happens.
Always need a good escape clause, man, or more than once. More than one of them is always necessary.
So
let's recap real quick. Corey, let me run a quick recap on what we discussed. We've discussed motivation. That pretty much is self-explanatory. The people that we're screening will be highly motivated to do and get the end result, which we talked about, which is an equity stake in the property itself, a place to stay for free, free food, free Wi-Fi, free this, free that, also a potential monthly or weekly stipend as well, okay? And then on to the monthly stipends. Are those going to be monetary or non-monetary? Well, we decided over the first couple of months, let's make those non-monetary and maybe mix in some monetary and half it for the next couple months after that. And then as we're doing this, building money from our workshops, once we get a certain set lower value, like $1,000 in the bank or something, then we can start the actual monetary stipend program for everybody. And again, like we discussed last show, if there's infractions, you can lose your or get docked on your pay, just like they do at employee situations. You'll get your pay docked, or you'll get your equity decreased, or something will happen that you can always earn back. It's not like a one-off thing. We can just go, oh, hey, you've got two infractions and you're about to lose your six-month contract, even though you've been here for 5 months. We don't want to see you lose everything. So if you go flip the shit in the compost buckets two times in this next month, and if you post at least 5 Steemit articles on Steemit about our thing, and if you market to this many people, or if you go find a way to get these materials for free, however it happens, just show up at the property with them for free, obviously not stealing them, of course, getting them donated. If you can accomplish these couple tasks, we'll wipe out these infractions like they never existed. And again, that's positive motivation, right? So next week we're going to have a regular show with a guest appearance. I'm really excited to talk about that. I'll let you know in just a minute, if you will. But next session that we have on this Let's Build a Community series is going to be session 3. And that will be the one where we can get Apollo on, most likely, Apollo Wilson, who I mentioned earlier in the show. He's been to all the different communities around the nation. He's an eco-village ambassador right now. And he's going to give us a lot of information, maybe clear up a few things that we have some concerns about. So that'll be the next session. In the first session, we talked about basic infrastructure, basic general ideas, contracts, agreements, community governance. We talked a little bit about the technology. This show, obviously, we talked about the motivation, the monetary stipends, how that would show up, and what's the end result of the interest that the people should receive. We're going to talk in depth about all of these things some more. Next session, like I said, we'll talk with Apollo, but I also want to bring up a community chalkboard or some sort of central listing of duties that we could have. Also some sort of way to raise awareness of each project that we do. So maybe getting Home Depot as a sponsor or so on and so forth, working with the local community. Okay, so we'll talk about that. And perhaps some smart contracts to keep track of everything. I don't want to be doing all this fucking paperwork. I don't want to be writing up infraction slips and so on and so forth. If there's certain timings set into the smart contracts that people don't meet on a weekly basis, the record is there. I don't care unless you broke your leg and you weren't able to physically do it. I do care, but I don't care if it's some excuse that you give. The excuse is not available to the person at that point. The smart contract says you got to do this on this date, and if this doesn't get checked or happen on this date by this time, I'm going to show that it wasn't done, and there's nothing you can do to change me to show that it wasn't done. You just have to write an addendum to the contract that says he got this infraction on this date, but he cleared it up by doing this task on this date. You know what I mean? But the smart contracts will allow for the tracking and the resolution of all those things with a couple clicks of a button after a meeting. So I don't have to constantly be on everybody's ass and be some fucking dictator. Does it make sense? You either did it or you didn't. I'm not here to babysit you or hold your hand. You either did it or you didn't. If you didn't do it, somebody else is going to do it. And if they did it, they get the money. Boom. It's that simple.
Nice. You know, next week I'm going up to Arcosanti up in central Arizona, which was a intentional community designed and built starting in the 70s. I'm going to go check that out just to see what it's like. Paolo Saleri, I think his name, kind of well-known architect. So I'll give you a report on that when we get back on next week's show.
I think that's perfect timing, and that will be just fine. It'll be perfectly set up for when Apollo gets on. Okay, so let's talk about – we're almost at the end of our show here. We basically are. An hour is never long enough, Corey. let's do a little teaser for our next week's guest, and this one is confirmed. I know it's next week is Easter, but a lot of people are out of the whole spiritual, religious – excuse me, not spiritual – religious control structure or paradigm of Easter. So I know that we're still going to have a lot of people listening and paying attention. And rightfully so, because we're going way, way out of the box with this one. Corey, we've talked about multiple dimensions, how certain archetypes like vampires and monsters and fairies and elves and all these different things exist in some sort of dimension, even if that's just a human dream dimension, collective dream dimension, or some sort of manifestation realm or something like that, which our psychology is tied into. I tend to think there is an actual real dimension with these entities, sort of how like Bigfoot is only sighted in certain areas where the dimensions cross over because they actually exist outside of our view. Same thing with psychedelics. When you take psychedelics, you're able to see UFOs and other types of crafts and things, and you are not hallucinating, by the way. You're just accessing a higher realm or broadband link that you can see the higher frequencies that these guys are hiding in. Okay? So I say that to say this. Our next week's guest is Sandy Sparkles, and her specialty is identifying fairies and doing fairy journeys and experiences in the woods. So she'll take you to certain locations, and everybody can just do their own sort of group collective walkthrough, and then everybody splits into their own little paths in these wooded areas, and they go on their own little intuitive journey, and they either have an experience or a contact or a communication, or a butterfly comes and lands on their shoulder, which we obviously know is not just a butterfly in some cases. In some cases, it just is a coincidence. But most of the time, when you have a bug come land on you when you're thinking something specific, like, hey, I would like some contact, right? Or out of nowhere, that's a contact or it's a communication, okay? So we're going to talk about fairies. And I know that I've said many times on the show that it's not all fairy farts and pixie dust in the world, but apparently there's some parts that are, okay? I totally believe in it. I support her. I've done one of these myself and have had some intuitive contact, if you will. So it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for her to come on and speak about it. She does a lot of other healing and motivation and Reiki, I think, and some other things as well. So we're going to get her to come on and plug her services, talk about what she does. And if you guys are interested, it's in the DFW, Houston, Austin areas all the time, and we can go from there. Okay. Again, so that's Sandy Sparkles. She'll be next week's guest. And after that, we will do a session 3 on Let's Build a Community, or possibly we'll have a musical show. I haven't decided yet. I have a lot of local musicians that I've ran into and interacted with and done some sets with lately that are very, very good, and we're excited to have them on. So, Corey, I appreciate you as well. Again, you're always on here doing great things and giving me a counter perspective. Thanks for jiving it up with me here about this community idea. And I can't thank the listeners enough. You guys are just awesome. We appreciate you. Keep listening. We've got lots of good stuff and new stuff coming up this year, and we will continue to keep you informed to the best of our ability about current events as we move into this ascension period. It's not a end of the world structure or not an end of the world event that's coming up. It's an ascension event, or a next level or leveling up event, so to speak. Okay. All right. So again, Corey, thank you. Listeners, thank you. Until next time, pierce the veil and the truth.